Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Nick, are you in the building?
Yes, I'm in the building.
Absolutely, Nikki. I'm sorry I had you on mute there. And, Nikki, you know what? I think I need to stop my intro again, and I'm going to do that again right now. And, guys, I apologize for that. My phone was on mute, and unfortunately, you couldn't hear my intro. But, guys, my name is Raz Williams, your host for this evening. Can We Talk Fridays is who we are, what we do. Can We Talk Radio is a unique radio station focusing on the human experience from everyday topics and issues, but unlike a lot of talk radio, we believe that God is everything and that we need his wisdom and direction in our lives to fix and solve our problems. So, guys, you know how to reach us, 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. Or you can email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, guys, today's part two from last week's show titled Getting to the Root. We discussed that many of our problems that we have experienced in life, you know, speaking from current experiences such as, you know, root issues, you know, it could be trauma, unresolved hurts, generational curses, all these, you know, personality and character and family issues, all these contributing to root beliefs and root problems in our lives that can have long-lasting psychological and even spiritual defects, thus leading us not to completely and fully experience the life that God intends for us to live. So, guys, we're going to discuss part two of Getting to the Root, and hopefully today we're going to talk about more on solution solutions on how we can deal with these things in our lives and really have the courage to face our fears and face these roots and uproot them so we can have a better life. So with that said, I want to go ahead and introduce our co-host for this evening, Nikki. Nikki's in the building. Nikki?
Hey, Raz.
How you doing, Nikki?
I'm fine.
Good, good. Nikki, so what's your thoughts of today's show, and what do you hope that we can get to cover today's show?
Well, of course, my thoughts are, as usual, that the topic is needed, and prayerfully, with every show, I hope that we accomplish helping someone with these practical issues that aren't talked about in a biblical manner.
Absolutely. Good to have you back on the show, Nikki. Next, I believe we have Daryl's on the line. Daryl, how you doing, sir?
Hey, how's it going, man?
All right. Hey, Daryl, so what do you think of today's topic? Today's topic is titled Getting to the Root, Part 2. You weren't here last week, but we talked about dealing with the issues in our lives and really getting to the root and dealing with the root causes of why we do what we do. A lot of times people, when we see people acting out or having a negative character trait, we think that's who they are. But what we're seeing is the surface. But deep behind that is something that has really caused them to behave that way. So what do you think about today's topic?
I mean, since I haven't heard part one, right now, I mean, I believe it's something that should be talked about, because getting to the root of problems is part of the solution of how to resolve the issues that we are faced with day to day. So I'll listen a little bit to see if I can pick up on what we're actually talking about, just before I fall asleep.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Daryl. All right, guys. Well, you know what? I want to read an email sent by one of our faithful listeners, Sonia Shari, who I believe is on the line. We'll get to her in a second. And she was actually traveling all the way in Africa, and I believe she was in Zambia, and she was using Skype to listen to the show. And I guess there was a 9-hour difference. And Sonia says that she really loves the show, and it was very encouraging, and she loves the new flow. So, Sonia, I want to thank you for that. And I think we have you on the line. Sonia, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
We're blessed. We're doing good. Thanks for asking. So how's that up? Are you still in Africa right now?
No, I came back on Wednesday, so I'm now here.
Okay.
But my computer's acting up, so I'm calling on Skype.
Okay, there you go. So, Sonia, what do you think of last week's show?
It really was insightful. I'm the type of person that I tend to shy away from people. And when I listen to your show, I'm wondering, where is that coming from? And is that the devil trying to spoil my opportunity to connect with people? And am I really doing the service of God by not engaging people and waiting for them to engage me? And I had a conversation with my friends when we were in Zambia, with my schoolmates, because we were there on a counseling trip. And it really helped me with my interaction with my clients there. So I was really appreciative. So thank you guys for always being there.
Absolutely. Sonia, let everyone know where you're calling from. And Sonia, what is it that you actually do? Are you a counselor, a therapist, something like that? Or?
I'm actually calling from Silver Spring, Maryland, which is a D.C. suburb. I'm in school to be a counselor, but I work a regular federal good government job in budget.
All right. Oh, absolutely. Well, definitely, Sonia, hopefully you can stick around, and we'll definitely plug you in for some of these questions and comments. Is that good?
Sounds good.
Absolutely. Well, guys, let's move on with the show. Guys, if you're calling for the first time, we're talking about Getting to the Root Part 2. The number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. You know, I want to talk about, real quick, before we go on to the rest of the show, I usually share at the beginning of the show some thoughts that, maybe some nuggets of truth that God put in my spirit to really, discuss on the radio show. And one of the things that was really speaking loud in my ears and ringing in my ears this week was stop arguing. And to me, that means that, too often, we as people, we fall into the trap of getting into arguments and arguing with people. And, someone says something that rubs you the wrong way, and before you know it, there's tension, there's quarreling, there's division. And I believe that it's the enemy's greatest trap to keep people from living in peace. But you don't have to fall into the trap of strife. You can rise above it. You have to recognize which thoughts to ignore, which comments to ignore, and sometimes which people to ignore. Every battle that comes across your path is not a battle that you're supposed to fight. Many battles are simply distractions to try to lure you off your course. If that battle is not between you and your God-given destiny, it's a battle you should ignore. In order to live a life that's a life of a godly champion, you have to be very selective about what you give your time to and who you give your time to. Many people get thrown off course because they're always trying to straighten everyone else out and win their approval. But if that's your focus, you're wasting your valuable time and energy that you should be using to pursue your dreams in life. So guys, turn away from that distraction. You don't need people's approval or the approval of everyone around you. It's very liberating when you realize that you don't have to fight every battle. You don't have to straighten people out. You don't have to pay somebody back. Instead, focus on what matters. Focus on what's important so you can live in peace. You have to set your mind on higher things and keep it set. The higher things are the positive things, the things of God. You see, guys, you control the doorway of your mind. Yet many times people live on autopilot, allowing and letting thoughts just roam free in their mind. But if you want to become all you were created to be, you have to choose the right thoughts. So that's my comment for the intro. Well, guys, it's time for the news. And, Nikki, what do we have going on the wall today?
Well, it's just an article that kind of caught my eye. It's in Arkansas. There's like a whirlwind that's been going on this week. They were granted, Little Rock, Arkansas, had a law that was passed about a week ago for approving gay marriage. And it said that more than 540 gay couples received marriage licenses during that last week after that Pulaski County Circuit Judge declared the state's same-sex law ban unconstitutional. Well, then today it was reversed, and they stopped it. And so one couple was talking about how they drove 2.5 hours from where they lived, and they were one of the ones who received their last license. But I was just thinking about that and thinking about the state of the world right now. And it's just like all the stuff that's going on with all these fires, the crazy weather. We're here in Southern California, and it's springtime, and it's like summertime. But in Texas, it's like extremely cold. Then we have fires all over the place, and, you know, and the Bible says that during the end times, not only will there be great tribulation, but, you know, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, you know, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient. Kids will be even more disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. You know, that's in reference to 2 Timothy 3:2. And the state of the world is just, it's ridiculous, and it's like we have been desensitized to it. Then you look at when you talk about people being, the Bible talking about people being lovers of themselves as well as lovers of money, proud and arrogant, abusive, it brings to mind not only the stuff that's going on in Africa where those, you know, girls were taken, but then it comes right back here to America with the whole Donald Sterling scandal thing. It's like this guy is so racist, so prejudiced, so arrogant, so caught up in his own money that he doesn't even realize that anything that he's done is wrong. But within, I would say, maybe the last 4 to 5 months, since the beginning of the year almost, it seems like all these behaviors have been amplified by the media. And what I do realize is that the media is used to desensitize us. So it's like, so if we see certain things or, you know, certain acts happening or when demons start manifesting themselves and all that, we'll be so used to seeing this stuff that it won't be a big deal. And it kind of make me wonder, like, okay, God, you know, there's been a shift, you know, and I'm like, am I the only one that's seeing this? And I know I can't be. And so it just keeps, like I was talking last week, and I've said plenty of times before, it just keeps bringing me back to where, you know, we as believers, we need to get on our face before God on one accord and, you know, put this before him, because the Bible also talks about that too, having the strength to be able to stand through all of this. And so that was just something that kind of, you know, amongst all the other things that's going on in the world, is just, you know, one more thing to, you know, pay attention to, because it just seems like, you know, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, and it's like we can't have our flavor. We've lost our flavor because we're so worried about our bills or trivial relationships or, you know, what house am I going to get next or, you know, my job, when, you know, those aren't the things that we're supposed to be concerned about. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And but we're not seeking first the kingdom of God. And if we're the ones that are supposed to be saving the earth, but, you know, Satan has elaborately put into play the plan of distraction, then it's like the earth is truly going to hell in a handbasket. So that was my article and my comment.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely believe that, you know, the media are definitely causing a lot of problems, and are being used, of course. It's a tool. It's a tool by the enemy, and, you know, we know that his puppets run the media and own the media, and they through social engineering and causing distractions and highlighting certain stories and downplaying other stories and hiding other stories, they're shaping and molding society. You know, let's take about this whole thing with Beyonce and Solange. You know, that was more blown up over those Nigerian girls. Kidnapped and whatnot. You know, this racist dude and whatnot. You know, it's crazy. And you know, you can definitely feel the. You can definitely, for those of you that are spiritually, saved or not non-saved, you know, for those of you that are definitely discerning, you can tell that there's something definitely, definitely crazy and strange about the world we live in right now. That things don't appear, things are not what they appear to be. I'm trying to think of where to say this, but there's something sinister going on that you can't quite put your finger in it. You can't quite describe it. You don't have the full facts of the intrinsic inner workings of what's going on, but you know that something evil is going on around you. And just the way things are going on in the government, you know, the decisions, all kinds of things, it's just getting crazy. So, you know, for those of you who are not saved, this is time for you to really become saved, because, you know, for those, the Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them because of fear. And if you have fear in your heart, if you cannot explain what's going to be happening, what you are going to be seeing in months to come, and even years to come, then you need to get rooted in Christ, because He's the only way that's going to give you the strength to really withstand what's going to come on the face of this earth. And you know, it sounds like it's far fetched, but really it's not. So that's my comment on that. Nikki, what do you think about this Jay-Z and Solange thing, anyway?
I think it's absolutely nonsense. It's ridiculous. I mean, whatever they got going on is on them. It's like that has nothing to do with any kind of news of any kind whatsoever. And so, like you said, I mean, that's so random Why do we care about them fighting in the elevator? I mean, it's plenty families everywhere that's having fights every day, all the time. And it's like, that's not news. That's just straight up gossip being nosy. And whatever they have going, I mean, from my understanding, they're not saved anyway. So who cares? I mean, the devil's going to do what the devil's going to do. You know, so, I mean, I don't give it much thought. That's how I feel about it.
Absolutely. All right, Nikki. Well, Dow, you've been kind of quiet, sir. What any thoughts about what's going on in the world today?
Not really. I mean, to me, it's like she just says a bunch of nonsense. And being that I'm traveling the U.S. on a daily basis, I see a lot of things. I'm not one for the news because I don't like someone to tell me what I should be doing or how I should live my life. I don't let the news detect what I'm going to do when it comes down to certain things. As far as the Jay-Z, the fight in the elevator, it's normal. If the family fighting, don't get along. I fought with my family at Thanksgiving time, but, you know, if they try to make today's news and make it other people's business and issues and problems, I think the news should just back off of some people's lives and just let them live their life as normal, and there'll be less chaos. A lot of these youth that we have out there are so twisted, they don't know what's right and what's wrong. By the media telling them what to do, what to say, how to dress, how to wear their clothes, how to talk. It's just nonsense. Not for the news. Sometimes they're good. Other times they just stretch it just to make chaos in the world. That's all I think about all that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, guys, if you're tuning for the first time, we're talking about part two to our last week's show titled Getting to the Root. Getting to the Root Part 2. The number to call us, guys, is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, guys, many people today only want to deal with the surface issues and not get to the root. Many seek to cure headaches with pills. They drown themselves in themselves in alcohol to fix depression. They cure low self-esteem and the need to be loved through sex and promiscuity. They try to solve marriage problems through divorce. They seek to find meaning by running from experience to experience. John the Baptist recognized that many people who approached him were dealing only with symptom issues. He told them, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. He wanted people to understand that God wants to deal with root causes, not superficial appearances in our lives. We all face problems, but too often we focus on symptoms and ignore the true causes. Unfortunately, symptoms can be easy to spot and deal with. Roots, in contrast, can be hard to find and painful to remove. We deal with the effects of problems rather than dealing with the underlying cause. For example, low self-confidence may be the result of experiencing a run of negative setbacks. Low self-esteem may be due to years of bullying, years of rejection, and procrastination may be due to not wanting to do the work. In these examples, attacking the effect won't really work in the end. It's usually more effective to deal with the root cause. Guys, if you keep dealing with the same problems over and over again, year after year, throughout your life, this is evidence that you're perhaps only pruning the leaves and not dealing with the root. For example, if you get yourself out of debt to get yourself into debt all over again, if you keep having relationship problems, you need to ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I behaving this way? Why am I attracting the same types of people? What's causing this within me? Could it be unresolved childhood, trauma, something instilled in me, a self-esteem issue? So, guys, it's foolish to attack the branches and the leaves because we know that without the root, there are no leaves. So, Nikki, I wanted to ask you, what are the biggest hindrances in dealing with root problems?
I would say the biggest hindrance in dealing with root problems is not acknowledging them. And I can only speak from like a spiritual standpoint. No, I haven't been saved all my life, but mostly all of the insight or wisdom or knowledge, if you will, came once I surrendered my life to the Lord and start seeking Him, and the Holy Spirit began to reveal things to me. And I think one of the biggest hindrance, if not the biggest hindrance, is you know, not acknowledging that there is a problem in the first place, and placing that blame for your behavior on everyone else when you're the common denominator. And so until you can acknowledge that there is a problem going on within you, then how can you be healed from it? Because you have to first acknowledge that there's a sickness in order to get the medicine. You don't just take medicine just because, unless you're just a drug head. But, you know, it's not acknowledging, which comes from immaturity. And it's not intentional immaturity. It's just we all go through our growth spurt when it's our time to go through it. I mean, there are stages to life. And so until you've matured enough to look in the mirror and say, hey, there's a problem, there's something going on with me, you know, that's going to be the biggest hindrance, because you can't get help without acknowledging the issue.
Absolutely. My comment is, and I totally agree with what you say, Nikki, and I truly believe that also habits is also another reason why kind of blocks us from really getting to the root. You know, habits are formed. They say that it takes 30 days to build a habit and 60 days to create a discipline and 90 days to create a lifestyle. So whatever habit you want to break, it's got to be counterattacked with another habit over a period of 30, then 60, then 90 days, at least 3 months. So I think that, you know, shifting your mindset or your paradigm isn't as easy as one may think. It can happen overnight if you laid hands on somebody who has a strong prophetic apostolic anointing. But, you know, in most cases, I think that God sends us as people through the fire to break, you know, to break the habit ourselves. And I think that, you know, having bad habits and, you know, meaning the way you think, the way you do things, can be a hindrance to you getting to the root of your issues. Daryl, do you have any comments on hindrances to getting to identifying the roots of issues? Okay, we lost Daryl there. Nikki, what do you think about my comment?
I totally agree, but I believe that it goes, I mean, there's not a but. I think it goes hand-in-hand in what I said, because you made some valid points. And the thing is that before God will give a baby meat, you have to drink milk first. And so, therefore, once he does send you through the fire, you know, it's he's purging all that stuff out. And so once the purging process begins, that's when you are, the Holy Spirit is making you aware of what's going on. And then once you're made aware, because if you don't even know that you have a problem, then I can't go into trying to break a habit because I don't even know why I do it. You see what I mean? So it's like, okay, I've recognized it. Okay, this is the problem. Okay, now this is what I need to do. So, yeah, I think that would be the second portion of identifying. I think it's right on.
Absolutely. Nikki, let me ask you about this, though. I mean, what about if people are afraid to unlock the door? Because sometimes when fixing these issues in our lives, let me say it like this. Fixing symptoms is easy. It doesn't require much effort on our part when we feel relief, you know, soon afterwards. But that's kind of like cheating ourselves. When I say fixing symptoms, I mean fixing the leaves, the branches. You know what I'm saying? But on a more serious note, dealing with the roots of, you know, dealing with root issues, man, I mean, that can be kind of scary, you know, because then you have to start digging up, going back into your past, digging up some painful memories and painful experiences you went through. Then you have to really, you know, especially when you've built your identity on being hard, or you've built your identity on being strong, or you've built your identity on being a certain way, take that away from you, it leaves you back to that weak, defenseless person that had to adopt that trait in order to cope. I think that sometimes we adopt negative traits as coping mechanisms throughout our lives, and these become part of us. So I think that in that situation, it can be very frightening and scary for somebody who may not, if they take that away from them, they don't know what to replace it with, or the fear of dealing with that will totally, you know, destroy them. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, that's where the maturity comes in. You can't ask a 12th grader to go and be a professor of a college class, not even for a day. That's where it goes back to where I was talking about stages in life. And, you know, no, until you're ready and until you're mature enough to, first of all, even recognize there's a problem, secondly, to break the habit of the problem, then thirdly, you will begin the process of finding your identity. And, I mean, because, you know, I'm always transparent, period, on the show, but period. I believe that that's how you help other people. You made a statement about being hard or being strong or whatever, and people using that as a defense mechanism or coping mechanism, as what you said. Well, that was part of who I was. And it started back when I was young. I've said it before, I'm the youngest of seven, and me and the youngest boy are 8 years apart. And so I always felt like I was different from them. I always felt like, you know, they could, you know how teenagers are when they have the younger sibling, your younger sibling, Raz, they take advantage of you, you know, it's like a lifetime hazing process. And, you know, you feel like you have to protect yourself. And really, I am a very sensitive person. But most people wouldn't know that about me, because when I was in my vulnerable state, when I was younger, my older siblings made me feel like that wasn't the right thing to do, or get out of here with that Brady Bunch stuff, you know, all that stuff. So I built a defense for myself, which, like, kept people away. And so, but over the years, it's like I got tired of feeling like my shoulders were always touching my earlobes, if that illustration makes any sense. You know, I got tired of walking around just like all tight, and I'm like, what is this? You know, and it came from the Holy Spirit just revealing to me, you know, okay, this is what this is. This is where it came from. Then it's like, okay, Lord, then what do I do? What do I do with this? First of all, it's okay to express how you feel. It's okay to be sensitive. It's okay to cry. That doesn't make you weak. But the way that it was portrayed to me, it was like I would be weak, and nobody wants to be weak. But it's okay to be vulnerable at times, because that's healthy. Nobody can walk around with everything bottled up all the time. So it comes from mature. You have to be, it's in God's timing, but you have to be mature first in order to identify the situation and then want to go on to the process of digging that thing up, because some people don't want to be any better. You know, it's just like, whatever, it is what it is. But for the most part, most people want to always strive to be better than what they were yesterday, I would think. And so it just comes with, you know, maturity. And it is very scary, because I truly didn't know who I actually was, and God is still shaping and molding me, and he revealed this to me probably like 8 years ago, and he's still shaping and molding me and some people. I mean, Raz, when you and I first met, and the conversation part in church was fine, but when you met me on a one-on-one, you know, with the singles and we were out and all that, you know, you even said, you was like, you can come off like off-putting, or, you know, how my personality can be. But, and I don't even mean to be that. I think you said I didn't smile a lot and stuff like that. So it seems unwelcoming. And I didn't mean to be that. But because it had been a lifetime habit, it's still something that God was working on me about. And I don't want to be unwelcoming or off-putting because I am a minister. So I may
right.
have the answer, you know, to minister to somebody, but they may look at my outer appearance and whether they feel intimidated or they can't, or I'm unapproachable, they won't come, you know. So it is scary, but, you know, it comes with growth.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's definitely interesting that you said that, Nikki, because, like, you know, you never know who you're talking to. And when we talk with people and when we see a symptom, or we see a leaf or a tree or a branch or a fruit, you know, we get to, you know, I know I've done it in the past. I've been very judgmental against people, and not knowing that, you know, there's a reason why they're like the way they are. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Maybe they're hurt. Maybe there's something inside them that's making them be that way. I mean, I know people have misjudged me because of the things that I was doing, but there was roots inside of me that I'm still dealing with today that were planted there from years ago. That you know, so in situations like that, you know, when we see people that are dealing with things, you know, those of us who are mature in Christ, instead of putting people down, instead of misunderstanding people, we have to really learn how to love people, man. Now, Daryl, you and I have had many deep conversations, you know, and if you go back into your past and, you know, your dealings with people, family, and whatnot, even yourself, what would you say were, like, some of the most hindrances for identifying certain root behaviors and certain roots that in your life that you, or in other people that you saw that needed to be rooted out? What were the things that were blocking them from, or blocking yourself from identifying those things?
Self, a lot of it comes from my upbringing, right? My parents. A lot of it we inherited from our parents. It's like a trait we go through. It's just like from generation to generation, we just feel that's the way it is. Feeling disconnected from my family. Always feeling that I had to prove myself to either be loved or fit in or to be treated like one of the family. And growing up, you adopt the lifestyle of trying to have thicker skin so the hurt doesn't bother you. And as we grow up, that layer just gets thicker and thicker. We just go through life more like angry. Of not what we got when we were a kid, but how we lived our lives. And for me, myself, I learned to try to undo what I've done to myself. And that's just allowing folks to talk to me, learn to listen more in order to better myself, because we all have a past. We all have some things that we can say that we stumble upon, we fell upon, or we just fell in. It's, a lot of it is not knowing how to deal with other situations or circumstances, so we try to block ourselves from the hurt we felt as a kid. But the way I look at it, when we were a kid, we were at our most vulnerable state of mind. We didn't know any better, so we just let it go. And as we got older is when we started developing ways on how to deal with it. A lot of it is a blocking out what hurt us the most. Like, I think you said her name is Nikki, where as an adult, especially as a man, we're taught that we're supposed to always appear tough, don't show weakness, don't show signs of vulnerability. And I've learned that the only way that we can get to the root of our problem, if we show a little vulnerability, if we don't mind crying, because, you know, if we bottle it up, it just gets harder and harder. to let down our guard, and anything that comes our way that resemble what we've been through as a kid, we stand strong against. We try to hold our ground, but inside we're just little kids crying, looking for the little boy to come out. But we try to be men at all times. So I mean, it's a cycle that we ourselves have to love. First, we got to love ourselves. We got to allow to have trust in God to show us the things that we missed out on. We tend to take that from generation to generation in our lives, not knowing that there's someone younger than you or someone that may look up to you saying, oh, that's the way I'm supposed to be. And then they just keep growing and growing and growing. But if we show a little bit more love and caring of other people, we can break that cycle of not being attacked, because a lot of the disattachment is just in ourselves. I mean, I'm pretty sure if we all asked our family members if they loved us, if they cared about us, if they want to know what happened to us, they'll all say yes, yes. But growing up, you don't see that. You learn to just, I'll be quiet and just sit in what I sit in or get whatever I can get. And that's not the way God intended us to live. We have to show some vulnerability. We have to show that we have feelings. If you always appear to be tough, somebody will always say, oh, they don't worry about them. They can take it. They can take it. You know, they're tough as nails. But inside, that person is yearning for some attention, yearning for some affection or some love.
All right. Absolutely. Good comment. Well, Nikki, I wanted to ask you this. This is a question for you, because I know me and you were talking about this actually last week and this week, and I want to come a step away from the hindrances to identifying root causes, and I want to discuss some of the root causes that are really prevalent in many people's lives. And Nikki, you mentioned a very important one, which I think is one of the main ones, which stems from one that I'm going to talk about after you discussed this particular root cause, and that was rejection. And in particular, the spirit of rejection, where I believe, Nikki, you mentioned that when people are rejected, it causes them to fragment their personality in order to cope. They do things to please other people. They put themselves in situations that are not really desirable for them. So, Nikki, I want you to really highlight what you discussed with me in our conversation, and really let people know how can rejection really become a root cause, and how is it the gateway to other root issues in our lives?
Well, like we were talking on the show, and we were talking in our own conversation, many people deal with rejection, and it comes from mostly. It's rooted there. The seed is planted usually in our youth somewhere, and when people are dealing with issues of rejection, they are a magnet to other people who have issues of abandonment and rejection as well. And what happens is, the person who has the issue with the rejection, they go out of their way trying to prove to the person with the issue with abandonment, and I'm talking in a relationship, whether it's an intimate relationship or even a friendship, they're trying to prove to them that, hey, I'm good enough. Look, you know, let me just, you know, love you enough. You know, let me just show you that all the bad things that ever happened to you, hey, I'm good. You know, I can help you through this. But the problem is the other person with the abandonment and the rejection issues, they take that person for granted because they've been so used to being abandoned, mistreated, drugged through the mud. So when they get the opposite behavior, it makes them look at that person as being weak. They take them for granted, and they start exhibiting the same behavior, you know, of pushing that person away which it just keeps being a cycle. And then eventually what happens is the person with the rejection issues, they try to, they've gone all over the place trying to alter who they are, to make the person happy, just come completely out of their own personal character and element to their own uncomfortability. And then what happens is they begin to rebel. Either they begin to shut down or they begin to act out in some other type of destructive way. And so it's just like issues of rejection and abandonment, you know, you usually see people who are angry, who are very argumentative, seem like for no apparent reason, people who are depressed. It just seems like they always feel like they are a day late and a dollar short. You know, so it's just like if these are some of the issues that you're dealing with, it's like, okay, if these are some of, for we say, branches or leaves, because the Bible says you know a tree by the fruit that it bears. So if these are some of your fruits of anger, depression, or anything that I described, you might want to look closely and see if there are issues of rejection where someone pushed you away, or, you know, you always feel like you're not good enough, or, you know, because in these instances, these people really need to take the time to allow God to heal them, because they won't be able to appreciate, you know, that person that does come along, whether it be a friend or an intimate relationship. They won't be able to appreciate the goodness of that relationship because they'll become untrusting, and they're so, we're talking about habits again, they're so used to the habit of being rejected, so they set themselves up to where, oh, they're just going to abandon me, push me away, reject me anyway. So, you know, those are, I mean, I have some issues with rejection, just probably a little bit more different, but I did have some issues with rejection. It wasn't a low self-esteem thing or anything like that, but because I felt like it stemmed from my childhood, once again, with my siblings, because I felt like I was different and, you know, I was basically an outsider. It was the six of them, then me. It caused me to kind of like always go for the quote-unquote underdog, for lack of a better term. And I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. And what we tend to do, what people like me tend to do, is we try to love people through, whether it be a friend, it's like I'm your ride or die, whether it be a relationship, hey, I'm here with you till the wheels fall off, and when the wheels fall off, then we're going to get out and push the car together. God didn't call us to be people's healers, because if we could do it, then he wouldn't need Jesus. And so what ends up happening to people like me is that you stay in situations too long trying to show somebody, hey, I can help you through this. Hey, I can love you through this. Hey, you know, and then you end up getting hurt. And had it not been for my faith in the Lord and my true relationship with God, I probably would be a jaded person as far as when it came down to not trusting people, or, you know, because, you know, my family is who did it to me, you know, with the abandonment and not being there and things of that nature. So, you know, you just want to put things in God's hands and, you know, but for as far as the rejection goes, you know, those are the fruit to the seed of the root of rejection. Those are the fruit. And so that was what we were talking about. Some of the things we talked about.
Absolutely. We have a caller from the 951 area code. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from? Do you have a question or comment? Caller from the 951 area code. All right. I guess they just want to listen in. Dal, you heard what Nikki had mentioned about the root of rejection. Anything else that you can would you identify as being a root issue, possibly fear, or do you have any comments about that?
Well, just elaborate on this. I mean, she's pretty much said everything about how it comes into play. Like I said, me personally, I always knew growing up as a man that rejection is part of my nature as a man because you can't always have it whatever you want. I don't take rejection as a bad thing. It's just part of life. You can't always have everything. You're not going to always fit in. You're not going to always be the first to be picked or, you know, it's just me. I just look at it as a growing state. I try to take it, and if I didn't get the promotion I was supposed to get, I try to look at the good of it and not look at the bad as it being rejection, that there must be something else that God may have intended me to do, or I might not have been successful if I thought I would and end up failing out. So it depends on the individual and what the person been through or what they've gone through and how they embrace things, because I'm pretty sure everyone had a rejection differently. Some get depressed, some go off drinking, smoking, doing drugs. When I'm down and I feel that, you know, something happened, I'll go to look at cars and test drive exotic cars. That's my therapy. So I look at it as a positive thing. It's just how people handle it to where, what state of mind that it put them in and how they could get out of it, overcome it. My thing is that whatever happened to me, I learned that it may not look like it's in my favor at the time because, like you said, it's called rejection, and the word rejection always has a negative output on it. I try to look at things now look at it better, like, okay, why is this happening to me? What is I'm supposed to gain or get out of this? And then I'll wait for it to come. Usually it shows that it was a positive thing that didn't happen to me. Like my profession, I'm a truck driver. And every day of my life, I put not only my life in hands of everybody else on the road. If I don't do something right, or if I make the bad choice or bad decision where I may say I want to start off early in the morning but I don't start off too late afternoon, and let you know I hear something bad. So I try to take things that may look like a bad thing on me. Like I got pulled over and went through a truck inspection. The outcome like that, everybody else got to go by. Well, there was something wrong with my truck, and if the guy didn't show me it, who knows what would have happened to me. So I look at things that happen to me like that. I look for the better, the positive part of it. So I don't want to take rejection like most people take rejection. I look at it and look for the positive in it, because there's something out of that I wasn't supposed to be or something I'm supposed to get. So I try to find a positive, and even when I'm told no, okay, there was a reason why I've been told no. But if you asked me that a couple years ago, I had a whole different attitude about it. You know, no one likes being rejected.
So it sounds like to me that to comment on Daryl, it sounds like to me maybe a rejection is not an emotional root that you have, or God has delivered you from it.
Well, I can say God delivered me from it. Because like I said, I mean, I knew growing up as a boy, young boy, that I'm going to hear no a lot. And so if I was to take that rejection as a negative thing, then I would be the meanest man walking around on the face of earth. But I had to learn how to deal with the junk.
But here's the thing, though. You know, being in life, people are not always going to be able to have that mental resolve in dealing with it in that same manner. For example,
right,
you get a kid who's been rejected over and over again. He keeps failing in this, and he's been told by his parents or being told by his school teachers or whoever
that he's not good enough. He's never going to be good enough. He's never going to be good enough. Some kids that affects negatively. Not only that, you have a spiritual enemy called Satan, who plants these negative seeds to rob you of the best that God has called you to walk in and live in. So, you know, yes, I mean, you can deal with issues by talking to yourself and say, you know what, I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna brush myself off. But I believe that's dealing with it on a surface issue because you're not dealing with the roots. And dealing with the roots is because, for example, like, you know, people want to become successful in life, so they go and listen to or read self-help books and keep saying, you know what, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner. But something devastating happens, they go, oh my God, they can't recover because they're only dealing with it from a surface perspective. But if you deal with it from a root issue, knowing that, you know what, the Word of God says that all things work for my good, I'm going to rebound from every negative situation, and God is for me, who can be against me? You know what I'm saying? I'm not dead yet. I'm still alive. I'm going to keep pushing forward no matter what happens. So that kind of resolve only comes from knowing who you are. So that leads to the next point, which is this, is that I was reading the story of, you know, of the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, and Adam and Eve sinned. When they sinned, God asked Adam, where are you? And he said, I hid because I was naked. And so to me, I believe that Satan creates identity crisis in people, especially from a young age. And Nikki, I wanted to ask you about identity crisis and how you think that could be a root issue.
You wanted to ask me about identity crisis. What? I didn't hear the last part.
Identity crisis and how that can be a root issue in people?
Well, once again, a lot of the times, most of the root issues are seeds that are planted, period. They're emotional. It's emotional trauma. And most of the root issues are seeds that are planted at a young age. And an identity crisis, an identity issue is also something else that can also be a fruit of rejection, because most people that have issues with their identity, who they are, whether it's their sexual identity or, you know, their cultural identity or their identity within themselves, it's because somewhere they were made to feel like who they were this way wasn't good enough. It wasn't going to be accepted, you know. So either I'm going to change it drastically to get the attention, even if it's a negative attention, or I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can, you know, until people see that I am good enough. It's so many different things, because a lot of people that have identity crisis, statistically, have issues with suicide and drug use. So, I mean, a lot of emotional fruit that we see on these trees have a lot to do with, fear in itself. You mentioned it. You know, what are you afraid of? I'm afraid of someone else's response to me. I'm afraid that you might reject. And it's not just being told no. It's not being made to feel good enough, because, Raz, with you, as well as myself, it's not the issue of being told no. No is not the problem. It's the issue of not being made to feel like you're good enough, whether it's, you know, in a relationship, in a friendship, even in a crowd of people, you know. And I was a person, I am still a person that will be considered popular or whatever the case. I was like that in school. I never did the clique thing. People always wanted to hang around me. I just always was a person that was kind of solo to myself. You know, people sought me out. I never saw people out. And Raz, you know, I'm still not like that. But it's just like you have a different perspective depending upon what the root is, and depending on what fruit of that root is being exhibited at that time, you have a different look on life. Like, you know, Daryl was saying that, you know, he can, you know, he understood, you know, at an early age that, hey, no is going to be no, you know. But the thing is that maybe it's something else somewhere else that Daryl had to deal with. Like for me, I had the issue with being odd man out and having to have this defense mechanism of being hard or being mean or I'm strong. And another thing it came from, a lot of times that stuff comes from your environment. I was raised in the projects. And so you can't show any kind of weakness, period. It's survival of the fittest. I mean, I was shot at 12 years old, you know. And so it's just like where those issues I had that God has delivered me from, somebody else may not have that problem, but they may have an issue with low self-esteem, and I don't have that problem. You see what I mean? So the way someone with low self-esteem may deal with an issue, like, for instance, for me, if I understand being who I am, you know, everybody's not going to be attracted to me, you know what I mean? And that doesn't bother me, you know, at all, because I don't have an issue with low self-esteem. But someone who has an issue with low self-esteem, 10 people could be attracted to them, but if that 11th person tells them no, there's going to be a problem. So it just depends upon what fruit on the tree that you're dealing with at the time. You know, that's the strongest or the bitterest or the biggest or whatever you want to call it. Depends upon your perspective and your outlook on life and how you're going to deal with it.
Absolutely. I want to see if we can get this call on the line. Just get that question or comment. Call off from the 951-642 area code. Do you have a question or comment for the radio? Okay, I guess they're listening. Dal, what do you think of this comment?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good comment, well spoken. Like I said, it's the individual person on the environment they've been raised in, how they deal with that, which is clearly, clearly spoken. I mean, I couldn't even top that if I tried. I mean, that was, you know, actually saying, you know, hitting the nail on the head.
All right, guys. Guys, listen, if you're listening for the first time, we're talking about getting to the root part two, discussing, following on from our last week's show where we were talking about dealing and identifying root issues in our lives and how we can, you know, deal with the negative roots in our lives and change those roots and lay new seeds to become new roots that will make us new people. So today's part two, and now I want to kind of talk about solutions to how we can deal with these negative roots in our lives. And solution number one is this. I think Mickey, you touched upon this a little earlier on, and I think we first must recognize that there is a problem. We first have to recognize and accept the fact that there is a problem. And in most cases, an external effect points to an internal cause. So we need to look at our past experience, the kinds of choices we've made, our basic attitudes and beliefs, and all that, on all the different traits that make up our personality. And any or all of these could be play a role and contribute to the problem we are dealing with now. So, Dal, what do you think about that comment?
Well, I have no comment at this particular time.
All right, Nikki, I'll pass it on to you.
Well, like you said, I had mentioned earlier that you have to identify the problem first, and sometimes, at least in my experience, it's hard to, once you identify the problem, sometimes it's hard to figure out why the behavior from the past. Like, for instance, you keep dating the same type of person. And it's like, now how in the world do I keep finding this same person? Like, what is it? What particular thing in that person, it's drawing me to them, so I'll know next time when I see that thing to, you know, kind of put the brakes on or whatever. So it has been my experience. I have learned about myself, you know, with the Holy Spirit, of course, showing it to me, that I am by nature someone who likes to fix things. I'm very independent, because, one, I have to be, and, two, I'm just a person who, like, since I was a child, I was tested, you know, with a high IQ, and it's like, if you show me something once, I'm going to master it. And I have a thought of, if it's humanly possible, you know, I can do it too. I don't care what it is. If it's humanly possible, I can do it. I'm only 5'2", 138 pounds, but if you 6'9", and 340 pounds, if you can do it, I can do it too. And so it's like, I like certain challenges, but by nature, I like to fix things. And so what I found about myself is I always date people who are a project. And it's like, that's no help to me. And what happens is I date them, or, you know, I've been married before, and God uses my life, which I found, to kind of help other people get to where they need to be. And that was fine, you know, at first, and it's still fine. It's however God wants to use me, I'm honored to be used. But it's like, are you going to be an instrument, or are you going to be a tool? You know, and if you think about a guitar versus a screwdriver, you're going to take more care of a guitar, and it's going to be more precious and more valuable than, because for one, it costs more than a screwdriver. A screwdriver you can get at a 99-cent store. It might break. It might wear out. I mean, who has the very first screwdriver that they ever bought? So I say that to say a tool can be used and discarded, because God is going to use you anyway. It just depends upon who you are. But an instrument will be used and appreciated. So I want to be an instrument. But I said all that to say, I am in my life now to where it's like, you know, God, I want to be your instrument. I'm honored to be used in that way. But now I'm ready for someone, whether it's a friendship or, you know, especially when I get married again, whoever he is, you know, someone who we are equal, or he can pour into my life, you know, where I can sit at his feet, you know, and he can be over me, versus, you know, me always getting attracted to, because I'm a fixer, putting all my energy into helping these people and fixing them up or whatever, and then, you know, they're gone on, you know, better or whatever the case may be, enlightened, and then, okay, here it is, I'm starting over again, you know. So it's just, you just have to allow God to show you, because without the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have had a clue. The man that I was married to for 12 years, and the guy that I had dated for 6 years, completely different personalities, completely different people, completely different ages, but they both had issues in their lives where I was an instrument to help them fix them. You know what I mean? So it's just like it has to, because you're not going to be able to with your own might and your own strength and your own knowledge. You really have to lean on the Lord and be prepared for what he showed you.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point. Daryl, you and I have had some very deep conversations in our past regarding you know, the kind of women that we attract, or even just, you know, like you said, the kind of, you know, people that you can attract yourself in a relationship. And what do you have to add to that as being a man and, you know, making the mistakes you've made, that being a root issue, like how can you, like, identify what Nikki said?
Respect what she said. I mean, me personally, I learned that I used to attract the same type of woman, and I used to always think that it was certain women, but I realized, well, God showed me it has nothing to do with the woman. It has to do with me. It was what I was putting out there, the type of guy I was at the time, that I kept attracting myself to the same type of woman. And what I mean by that is that being the fact that I didn't feel loved in my own household, my family, you know, growing up as a kid, that I was always looking for someone to love and to care for, to take care of us. I always seeked out needy women, women that needed someone to pretty much take care of them. And with my kind heart and generosity, I usually always got them taken advantage of. So I learned that in order for me to fix it, I had to identify what was the problem, and that was just always feeling that I wanted to fit in anywhere. I mean, anywhere would have done at the time. So I always attracted the same type of woman in, about three years ago, where I had to take a time out for myself to figure out who I am, what I really need, and I had to rely on God to show me that, so I could stop saying, it's certain women, these women out here don't know what they want, and God is, well, it's not that they don't, they know what they want, it's just what you put out there, what type of energy, what type of person you are. And we tend to set ourselves up to be used when we go through life like that. So I learned to just identify myself, who I am, what I'm worth. And we always talk about a woman's worth, but, you know, men are worth something too. And I learned to be a better person by learning out who I am and what I'm capable of. I'm not just a person that could pay your bills or get you the things you want. I have a heart. I want to be loved too. I want to be affectionate. I want to share my life with someone and not always feeling like I'm putting out and getting nothing in return. So my thing is trust God, believe in God. In order for you have to learn who you are, what your purpose is. You know, we attract those to us that we gravitate to. It's part of our character. It's part of who we are, but we got to understand that we are more than what we set out to be. And the best thing to do is just to take the time out, tap into that so you know what you have to offer so you can be able to look for that in return. And we don't need to just settle. You know, we all been through relationships. We all had breakups. And we probably kept asking ourselves, why me, why me, why me? And in order to fix it, you got to be like, no, it's not me anymore. I'm not going to go down that path no more. I'm not going to waste my energy. I'm not going to waste my time. And you just got to identify it and work through it.
Absolutely. Well, solution number two is what I've highlighted is, you know, in dealing with the root issues and causes in our lives, we need to work on growing it in our self-understanding of who we are. And the only way we can really do that is really having a relationship with God, for God to show us who we are. You know, there are people in life that just go day to day, month to month, year after year, just drifting through life, you know, never without really knowing who they are or what they're about. Just, you know, so by increasing your self-knowledge, knowing that God created you to be this type of person, knowing that you as a person have these kind of traits, you have a strong feeling for certain personality traits, and you're attracted to these kind of personality traits, this will help you and guide you in being drawn to the right people. Nikki, what do you think about the importance of knowing who you are so that when, you know, in the as far as being healed from these root issues in our lives, like, you know, knowing who, if we come to find out who we are, who God really created us to be, would you not think that that would be a cure, so to speak, for some of the rejection issues, the fear, the insecurities that we have?
I think that that can possibly play a part, because you can know who. I wouldn't say that that's the total healing thing, because there are people that's listening, and there are people that's on this phone that have certain emotional issues, whether it's rejection or whatever, and we know who we are in God, and we still struggle. It's just the thing is that always needing God. I mean, if you look at the equation, it's God is not a cruel God. He's a loving God, but He sacrificed His Son for us. And therefore, the Bible says, as long as we're on this earth, we'll have trials and tribulations. And the thing is that we have certain issues because of the sin that's in the world. But it's to always make us needy on God. If I can perfect every problem in my life, then what would I need God for? And so it's just always to, you know, because you can know who you are and still struggle with certain things. I know who I am called to be. I walk in my calling every day. But I still have some things that I have to deal with, that God still has to work out of me, that I have to be encouraged on, and, you know, and I'm not a needy person by any means. And I think that may possibly, if my life had been a little bit different and my upbringing and my environment had been a little bit different, then, you know, I could have been a little bit more vulnerable. Now, as a 36-year-old woman, I'm trying to become more vulnerable and make myself more comfortable in being in vulnerability at times, so a man won't feel like, you know, I'm challenging him or whatever the case may be. I know who I am. I hear God talk to me just like I hear you talk to me, clearly. But there's still things that, you know, within my flesh, because that's what it is, it's our flesh. You know, we have to crucify our flesh daily. The Bible says that. So it's just, yeah, you need to know who you are. And once you know who you are and who you're called to be and you accept it, it should be a help to what you do and don't get involved in. But even with that, you know, there are still weaknesses and issues that we fall into. So I think the cure for it is not that it's just gonna a necessary magic pill or prayer that you pray and it all goes away. I think the cure is to always stay dependent on God, and no matter what it is that you're going through, you know, Satan tries to set us up to where if we failed here, the Bible says we've all fallen short, and Satan makes us as believers feel like that, oh, man, I messed up here. So it's just like how you was talking about Adam in the garden. When they sinned, they hid from God. That's still our nature today. We hide from God when we do things wrong. God wants us to run to Him. And then that's the healing of pulling up those roots, is running to God when they're identified instead of hiding from God. And that's even with unbelievers as well. How many unbelievers have you heard say, I can't go to God like this. I got to wait till I get some things worked out in my life before I can go to Him. I mean, Satan will make sure you never get it worked out if that's the case. So, you know, that's my comment.
Man,
That's a good comment, Nikki. And I really want to talk about Adam real quick, man. I mean, that was a cold piece because Adam was planted in the midst of a finished work. Everything was prepared for him. And the devil told him he needed extra things to qualify for the things that he was already qualified for. So the devil gave him a mistaken identity. If you eat from this tree, you will be like God. But Adam was already like God. So the devil said, perform to become. So whereas in the wilderness, like, you know, I'm looking at when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil, and he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with him turning those stones to bread. There was no law, as far as I can remember in the Bible, that says you can't do that. You can't turn stones. If you're hungry, you can't turn stone to bread. But Jesus refused to bow down to the pressure and do what Satan commanded, you know. And it just goes to show that, when you're given a mistaken identity, like Satan tried to give Jesus a mistaken identity by tempting in the wilderness, as he was successful with Adam, it opens the door to stress. Because when Adam sinned, he was, you know, the root cause was I guess the fear of not being complete, you know. And he was in a worse state off. Instead of him being well taken care of and provided for, now he had sweat by the brow. He had constantly had to toil and work and eat, you know, to eat and to stay alive, and it was just not a place to be in, man. So that's just an interesting analogy that I just wanted to bring up real quick. And you know, I believe that a lot of our issues with, you know, that have root causes because of a mistaken identity. You know, we forget who we are, and the devil convinces us that we're somebody else. And I think if we believe those lies, it can be a problem. But back to the solutions, though, I really think that solution number one, as we mentioned, that you need definitely to admit to God and yourself that you have root issues that are present in your life. Number two is look up and memorize specific scriptures that talk about these root problems, that you can keep, memorizing them and meditating on these scriptures. And also, number three is to clean up and get rid of everything you own that could keep the root growing. For example, I had a problem with pornography when I was younger and struggled with that, you know, in most of my adult life, because as a child, you know, I'm the youngest of seven kids, and I had brothers who had porno flicks, you know, as a teenager. I'm like, well, you know, you want to get your rocks off, man. So you do things that, you know, that was attractive to me. And but then it was developing a root of lust in my life that was leading me to things that were not godly. It would make me talk to women that were probably not for me, or putting myself in situations that were not cool. So, you know, if you have a root of lust, then it would be wise to you to remove any material or do not let your eyes gaze upon things that would invoke that lust. Nikki, what do you think about my comment?
I agree 100%. I can also relate to that. You know, we've had that conversation before, to where I had an issue with watching pornography as well. Being the youngest of seven, came across something I had no business. Like I said, all that stuff happens when you're younger, and then you realize that you're stuck. And most people don't think that women have an issue with watching pornography. And it's like, you know, same difference. And it didn't necessarily have to end with masturbation or any of that. It's just what I put before my eyes. And what God showed me with that was, not only was it planting these seeds, but it's a false reality of what God created that act for. On TV, on those things, it's like it's glorified. It's you know, everybody's body is going to be a certain way. You do this, then you get this result. And then when you get in your marriage, because I was married for 12 years, and when you get in your marriage and, you know, when you have that issue, you feel like, and you want to please God, it's like, if I get married, then I can do all this because the Bible says that the bed is undefiled and yada, yada, yada. But the thing is that because that thing hasn't been pulled out of you, when the real life of marriage happens and your partner isn't performing like that or cannot perform anymore, you're left with, okay, now what? You know what I'm saying? So it's just like it's a whole lot of things that can cause, but you're absolutely right. Those you have to remove the things. You have to remove the stressors. You have to identify what the stressors are. And then on top of that, because you can remove it, but everything is like if you have DVDs, tapes, whatever the case may be, you can throw all that stuff away. But you know how the devil works. We still got cell phones. We got laptops. We got tablets. We got all that. So you have to identify the stressor. And you have to actually fight those situations to where it's like, well, shoot, I wanna watch it. You know what I mean? You better start praying in the spirit, or that's what I actually do. When it would come up for me, because it's like this is another common misconception that us as believers have. We feel like once we're delivered from a thing, we don't have to deal with it anymore. No, you have to walk in your deliverance every day. That's how addicts get off of a drug, feel like they cool, and have a relapse 20 years later. Where the heck did that come from? You have to constantly walk in your deliverance. So once you understand all that, then I think that you're on the road to, you know, being okay. And then once you've conquered that thing, then it'll be something else that you have to conquer. That's just how life is.
Absolutely. And my next point, Nikki, that I wanted to say was this is my next point. Now that you got rid of the porno flicks, I know, right? Now that you got rid of the pornography, and I'm used to watching pornography. And real quick, though, man, I mean, people make it seem as though women don't watch pornography, but there's a lot of women addicted to pornography, just as men are. Am I right?
I mean, I mean, a lot of women don't talk about it. I watched it, but I have a lot of brothers, and so it's like they had it, I came across it, and I know I have a couple friends who watched it, but like when you say like men, like it's like literally I will watch it, or I did before the Lord delivered me, and I'm daily walking in my daily deliverance every day. I could watch it alone. I don't need my dude to be there. You know what I'm saying? Just like a man. He don't have to have his woman there to watch a porno. He doing it on his own. You know what I mean? So it's like people, that's the other thing. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You know what I mean? There are a whole lot of things that are out there that everybody deal with, both men and women. It's just the point of, like I said, being transparent. I don't care how somebody, what somebody's opinion of me is, because I'm being transparent. If it's helping somebody else, man, I'm going to get up and I'm going to tell my testimony every time. And I think us as ministers should be that way. But yeah,
absolutely,
a lot
Nikki.
Of women have the issue too. They just don't talk about it.
Absolutely. Nikki, I got to stop you there. We're coming to the end of the show. Guys, thanks for tuning in to Can We Talk Fridays. My name is Raz Williams, your host. My co-host, Nikki, did an excellent job today. And please tune in same time next week for a new topic. And we'll see you next week. Nikki, real fast, a couple of seconds. Do you have any closing comments?
Just always lean on God, and he'll get you through.
All right. Guys, we'll see you next week. Peace.